Wake up, Denver. This is Bo Mitchell. Our program is You Get the Blessing. Are the Beatles. I have to admit, it's getting better since you've been mine. And it is getting better, folks. Thanks for tuning in to You Get the Blessing today. It's getting better because of our relationship with God through Christ. And today we have a tip from the team. Mark Klibbe, my co-host, and I are going to deal with that we hope will help your life to get better. And it's age old. It's common to all of us. It's simple to do right, and it's very simple to do wrong. We're going to talk today about our use of the tongue, our own speaking. So, Mark, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Bo. Great to be here with you.
You ready to deal with this topic?
You bet. You bet. I can relate to every one of these. I'm not sure if I do it well, but I'm trying to get better.
And all of us should get better. In fact, I'll start the program by reading a scripture that talks about how important taming our own tongues can be. In James, the third chapter, the third verse, it says, "If anyone can control his tongue, it proves that he has perfect control over himself in every other way." We can make a large horse turn around and go wherever we want by means of a small bit in his mouth. And a tiny rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot wants to go. So also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. So our program each week talks about the fact that we introduce you to guests, and the guests are impacting the community for Christ, and we hope that helps you. Once in a while, we go off like this and do what we call a tips from the team, and that's what we're doing today, entitled Taming the Tongue. Even before we get further into that scripture, a part of taming the tongue is discussed in the book, Grace Behind Bars, which my wife and I wrote. It was released March 1st. And it's about our life story and what happened to our family 25 years ago when I went into federal prison, and how my wife, Gary, and my children, Ashley and Andy, helped me come out of this a better person. And part of it was slowing down the way I used my tongue. I said some very hurtful things to people that I wish I could take back, but I can't. All I can do is apologize, and I have apologized for certain things that I said over the years. And I'm sure you listeners feel the same way, but God is a God of forgiveness, fresh starts, and new beginnings. So I'm not going to be stuck on the fact that I certainly, this side of heaven, am not perfect. I did not sign up for perfect. And in the area of the tongue, I have flunked numerous times. So once again, out of James 3, the Bible says, if anyone can control his tongue, it proves that he has perfect control over himself in every other way. The tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. So Mark and I are going to kind of bounce back and forth here and discuss some things we think are scriptural, some different uses of the tongue that can be helpful or damaging. But let's start, Mark, with me. Of course, the simplest would be the lying tongue. I mean, the Bible's real clear where it says in Matthew 5, let your yes be yes and your no be no, for wherever there is more than these is from the evil one. Normally just saying, you know, keep it simple, folks. You don't have to stretch the truth. Golf game, why does someone say they shot a 83? when they actually shot an 85. I mean, what's the difference, fellas?
Sure, you had to bring that one up.
And yet it comes out. What about you, Mark? You got the next one?
Next one we got, here's the flattering tongue. And, you know, if you look at the flattering tongue, it sounds positive because you're hopefully boosting somebody else up. But as I look at that, you know, and actually looked it up, they said it's a compliment, excessive compliment in order to win favor. So there's some deception here, why you lift somebody else up and flatter them, and a lot of times it's insincere.
Well put. Another one would be the manipulating tongue. I know when I'm being worked. And I have people in my life that just try to work me over and over. I know I've done it the wrong way for sure. So the manipulating tongue is pretty quickly identified, and it does not feel good at all when you are being worked and manipulated by someone.
The next one we got is the hasty tongue. And best that I can think of on that is just think. Think before you say something. Think of the consequences of saying something. You might think it might be harmless, but if you think about it, you go, I've been guilty of this. And unfortunately, with my wife, I said something that I thought was just, you know, harmless, and all of a sudden she took it in a way that I didn't mean it. But if I would have thought it through ahead of time, you know, hopefully I would have figured out that, hey, don't say that. You know, it's just think before you talk.
I'm Bo Mitchell. Our program is You Get the Blessing. That voice you just heard is Mark Klibbe, my co-host today, and our topic is taming the tongue. The scripture talks about, if you can control your tongue, you have perfect control over every other part of yourself. And we're talking about some ways the tongue could be damaging, using ourselves as examples. The divisive tongue, you know, sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's unintentional. But I can remember some guy saying, why didn't you and so-and-so do this? And I said, so-and-so and I could never do this. We would not be any good at it. It's not our gift package. We would be terrible. And the next day, the word had already gotten back to that guy that I had criticized him. In that case, I did not mean to be divisive. I was just stating a fact about the both of us, but it was very divisive. Other times I hear people, you know, repeat a bad thing about somebody knowing that it's going to be repeated back to the person and cause division. And it's a very damaging thing we do with our tongues, attempting to be divisive.
Yeah. Next one I got is argumentative tongue. I think of my dad with this one, because he'd take the opposite side of any kind of idea just to be argumentative. It's good to take a stand and be able to argue it, but if you're just out just to argue and you find a reason just to disagree with somebody, it can come across very negative and bring everybody down.
Another misuse of the tongue would be the boasting tongue. So Paul himself says, if I boast, I boast of Christ and the things of his kingdom. So a good motto is just let others brag on you. Don't brag on yourself. You can hear it in speakers. There's only really three things as a speaker that you can do. One is called an it focus. Focus on, like, even if it's teaching the Bible, the content of the Bible. You focus is what you want. Where you're focusing on the audience and what's in it for you, what's the takeaway for everybody, the application. But I focus is a boasting tongue. It's just talking about yourself and mentioning yourself way, way too frequently. to be avoided.
The next one I got is the gossiping tongue. And I think everybody can relate to this because they've been on one side or the other. Either they've gossiped about somebody else or somebody's a gossip about them, and it can be hurtful. A lot of times it's about somebody else's personal business, and you're dealing with rumors or untruths or things that you just don't know whether they're true. And it just can tear other people down. And I don't know why people gossip. Maybe it's just to bring somebody else down. That somehow makes them feel better about themselves. But it's not what you want to do, to say the least.
Another one would be the meddling tongue, just putting yourself into somebody's business, like Mark just said about gossiping even, but just something you should have nothing to do with, and all of a sudden you're meddling in the affairs of others, and you're letting your tongue and what you say not be maybe wholesome. Matthew 15 says it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You're defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. And certainly meddling into other people's affairs can really stir up some unnecessary and evil dust.
You got the betraying tongue. It's just brings to mind that, you know, not being loyal. A lot of times this, in my mind, goes to something that a friend has told you in confidence, and you are betraying that confidence and spreading it around behind that person's back and betraying that trust that he had in you. And that's a great thing to have friends that you can share the secrets that you wouldn't share with other people. And you don't want them to be spread around.
We also have the belittling tongue, and that's just putting people down. It's just unnecessary, not fruitful, not helpful to anybody. The sarcastic, subtle put down, whatever it might be, but the belittling tongue just doesn't work. It's hurtful. It's painful. I've done it. I'm thinking of two or three people right now that I hurt that probably have forgiven me, but really don't want to be around me because of that. So I regret it. Try to do better moving forward.
Again, these are things that I think we can all fall into the trap of being negative and being unkind with our words. So none of us are perfect in this, but we, you know, again, to reiterate how we started with this, we can get better, and with a little effort on our part, it'll help. The cynical tongue, again, this is just a negative one that, you know, just always being cynical and the glass is half empty, and just try to be positive. I think of the balance. I've fallen into this one myself, but the balance is my wife, who is the most positive person. And how people, you know, want to hear what she has to say because she's always so positive and encouraging to them, similar to you, Bo. And we can always fall into that trap of being negative.
Another one would be the know-it-all tongue, the guy that seems to have all the answers to all the problems. I don't know anything about that. Seems to be tough for us to say, and I don't know why it is, but it seems to be. So if you fall into the category of a know-it-all, just know that you're probably repelling people, not drawing people to you in a friendly way.
The next one I got here is the harsh tongue. Just comes across as cruel and unpleasant, and just being more severe with your words than you are necessary. Again, just that negativity and just, you know, coming up with a harsher or meaner way of putting something, then you have to be. You know, just be nice.
And the tactless tongue, not using good tact, again, would be on the edge of being just inappropriately insensitive to other people around you. And tact is a better use of your tongue, just a tactful way to say, I know you probably didn't mean to do this, but did you notice you just poured your entire soda on the leg of my pants here sitting on the airplane? I'm not sure that's the way you'd react, but tact is a good thing. Tactless, not a good thing.
Not like saying the overweight waitress, the food must be good here?
No. No. That would be tactless, yeah.
Sorry, folks. I just came to my mind, and I should have thought about it.
That was very tactless.
The next one is intimidating tongue. You know, intimidate, if you're trying to intimidate somebody, it's just trying to make you feel better about yourself, to make lowering somebody else. It just doesn't make any sense. You're trying to, you know, think more of another person than you do yourself. And what is it going to be? How is it going to be taken by them? Don't bring other people down to raise yourself up.
So this is Bo Mitchell, the voice you just heard. There's Mark Klibbe, my co-host today. Our show is about tips from the team rather than having an outside guest today. And this is a show we're doing on controlling your tongue and some of the negative things that need to be tamed about our tongues. There's many of them, and how the scripture teaches us that if we can control our tongues, it proves we really have perfect control over every part of ourselves. So it's a big thing we're talking about. Another one would just be the out-and-out rude tongue. I can remember something someone said to me one time, and I said, you know, you just said something very rude to someone who tries not to be rude at all, and you, mister, have a problem at this point. And the guy and I worked it out, but it took a while to overcome that. In other words, I would guess maybe a thought would be, rude is never appropriate. It's never funny. It's never uplifting. It's never good. It is a bad thing.
Rude never works, as you've said many times. Judgmental tongue, judging other people. Why do we do that? You hear it a lot, especially with people that you disagree with. You want to judge them and make them sound worse than they are. And the motivation behind that, I guess it's just to lift us up again, but we're not supposed to judge other people, and thus we will not be judged. If we judge other people, we will be judged accordingly, and nobody wants to be that way.
And the self-absorbed tongue is really back to the I focus. It's all about me. I can remember hearing the greatest speaker I've ever heard one time, a kid named Neil Jeffries, speak at a conference. And a few of us were standing there in a circle crying. And this guy was approaching us who really had an ability to be self-absorbed. And we were thinking, surely, as he was approaching us, we said, surely he can't turn this into something about himself. And he walked into our little circle and he said, I've been told my whole life that I'm a great speaker, but that guy was actually pretty good. And we thought, he pulled it off. He did. He somehow took the greatest, sweetest talk we'd ever heard and made it about himself.
I'm glad I got this next one because I can relate to it. The cursing tongue. I don't know why we use the curse word, but I did it a lot before I came to the Lord. Especially, I was in a leadership role, and People were just dumbfounded on why I cuss so much. And it was funny because a couple years after I came to know the Lord, and thank God he took that away from me. I'm not sure why he, just takes it away that totally in an instant, but he did. It does sneak back every once in a while, but when I went to one of my previous employees and told him that I was in ministry, and he goes, "How can that be with your mouth?" And that stuck with me, and I try my best to make sure if I hit that finger with the hammer that I say, "Oh my gosh, what have I done?" instead of what I used to say.
We all do it. There's also the complaining tongue. I have a sign that I read every morning on the wall of my home that says, "One positive thought in the morning can change your whole day." Especially as Christians with Christ, it's amazing how we can fall into a habit of complaining rather than looking at all the blessings, all the provisions God has poured into our lives, and all the things we should be thankful for. So thankful tongue versus complaining tongue would be good.
Next, retaliating tongue. When people say unkind things to you, don't return it with and try to retaliate. Try to diffuse the conversation by taking the high ground. You don't know why they might be attacking you or having a, maybe they're just, they went through something that you don't know. Maybe that's why they're being unkind, but it's not going to do anybody any good to retaliate. Do not return evil with evil.
Well said, my friend. The accusing tongue can be very dangerous and damaging. And I can remember a lady coming up to me at church and saying, "Now you're the man who caused my father to go bankrupt, aren't you?" And so she's accusing me of something really major there. And I said, I knew your father, but we never did a business deal together, so I'm not sure what you're talking about. And she said, "Well, you did a real estate deal over in Grand Junction with my father that caused him to go bankrupt." And I said, "Sorry, I never did a business deal with your father, and I've never done a business deal in Grand Junction." So I was falsely accused, and was just wonder to this day how many other people in that family or in that church body think, "Yeah, old Bo Mitchell's the one that caused that guy to go bankrupt because somebody accused me of it and I had nothing to do with it." So very damaging, and I'm sorry to use that example probably than one where I'm on the other side of it and have made the mistake.
Again, we're just trying to get better with all this. And the next one, a discouraging tongue. I'm going to take the opposite of that, because everybody can be discouraging at time, and they hang around with people that are discouraging. But if anybody's encouraging, encourage each other. My friend here, Bo Mitchell, is one of the most encouraging people that I know. And it is just a delight to be around people like that, because they lift you up. They make you feel better. Try to be that to other people. Encourage them.
Thank you, Mark, for saying that. You read that just the way I had wrote it down for you over there.
I did good.
You did really good. The doubting tongue. I think there's a prison of doubt that really has snared people through the years, a prison of unbelief or doubt or whatever that could be, but it's certainly not positive. It's very painful, and it's not good for our souls to doubt. And I think it leads to living a life of fear, that you're just worried about everything that could be coming up. 99% which will never happen. Don't doubt, believe.
The next one I've got is the silent tongue. And sometimes I probably would be better off being silent than some of the things I say, but being silent in my mind is not communicating. We got to communicate with each other. We were put on this world to have relationships, and that's about, you know, communication with your fellow man, and again, trying to keep that communication as positive as possible.
So this has been a little variation of what our program normally is. Tips from the team. My co-host, Mark Klibbe, thank you for what you had to say today, Mark.
Oh, thanks for having me here, Bo. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
You're a great co-host, a great guy, and I might add, a great golfer. So we were talking about taming...
Wait a second. That goes back to flattery, I think.
Yeah, it does.
You must want something.
We're talking about taming the tongue. So just remember, folks, let no corruptive talk come out of your mouth, according to Ephesians 4, but only such as is good for building up, that it may give grace to those who hear. Use your tongue in a positive way and watch how God blesses you and uses you. Thanks for tuning in to You Get the Blessing this morning. This is Bo Mitchell saying we love you all. We'll see you here next week.
Have a great day. I used to